Hello, 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 everybody, to the good folk, to the Goal Lounge family. Today in the house, we've got Wonga Dinga the Dinganator. At the bottom, we've got Lolo, Selo, Selo Lolo, Lolo, Selo Kale. I don't know, I'm just trying to give him some excitement because we know he's not looking forward to Ole back in the dugout there, and he knows he's not getting a new manager anytime soon. Am I right, Selo?
I don't know. I'm on the show. I think you should just put my body here, and that's about it. You know, not say anything. You know, I think that's we want autopilot to start many matches. So yeah, hey, we got Arjun in the house. So maybe let me get excited for Arjun.
Arjun,
what up, Arjun?
My boy from Old Trafford. Good to have you in the house. Maybe I'll get excited for you, but otherwise, yeah, man, I'm in limbo right now as a club. So I'm not sure if I want to be on the show. But I'm on the show because people want to see me on the show.
People want to see you. You're damn right they want to see you on the show. And also, Wonga wants to see you on the show because he's had to endure weeks and months of abuse with his team doing poorly. And now he thinks his team are doing well, which also begs the question this week, guys. I mean, this weekend they are facing Liverpool. And he's feeling fairly, I wasn't going to say confident, but he's crossed the line and he's actually more cocky than he is confident. That's all I'm saying. That's the vibe I'm getting. Settle, are you getting the same vibe?
Yeah, man. Hey, man. It's good to have a cocky Wonga. I think he's endured enough pain and suffering last season and earlier this season. I think it's good to have a happier Wonga Dinga. You know what I mean? So yeah, man. I guess when the gents and Goal Lounge are happy, we're all happy, right?
Yeah.
It's optimism, guys. Not cockiness. It's called optimism. When we were down there was only one way we were going, and I could only fear the worst. Now I can actually hope for better things. I think it's more optimism than cockiness.
Okay, well that's a good thing. Just a little update to the missing members of the squad this evening. Obviously, in certain areas, Eskom have contributed to the failings of certain appearances. In this case, the King of the North.
King of the North, yeah.
And then in other cases, we've got family duties. Matingu apparently at soccer training with his young born. And then we've got Musa, Chelsea fans. Being MIA, anyone know what's happening with that guy?
I don't know, man. I think maybe the man's been recruited elsewhere. Maybe he's been, I don't know.
You're telling me there's been some tapping up happening here?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not saying anything. I don't know. I wish I knew where Musa was, but, we haven't seen him in a while, and he's top of the log, so I don't know why he's hiding.
Yeah, consider four goals. Wait, why is he hiding?
No, I don't know, but there's something, behind that comment. Wonga, that's interesting. No, it says you can see Arsenal's coming. But the question I've got, I mean, Selo, you kind of put something out there. You're like, you don't know. You don't know if he's moved somewhere else. And that kind of, that's got me thinking, though, because where there's smoke, there's fire, right? No.
But what's happening tomorrow? I saw there was an announcement. Something's happening tomorrow.
Hey, bro.
Give us a clue.
Just see a spinning logo there. What's happening, eh?
What do you guys think is going to happen? See, this is the thing about Goal Lounge. I think to the viewers, you are just our squad are kept as much in the dark as everyone following us, which is quite cool. Builds their excitement. I don't know. Like, this is genuine. They are asking the question genuinely. What do you think is going to happen?
Please don't tell us that Nick is making a 70th cap or something, please.
gentlemen, no, that's not happening.
How's it going there? Vance and Pumlani as well there. Vance, how's it going, guys? It's good to have some of the older members back in the hizzer. But Pums is number one fan of Goal Lounge TV.
Oh, really? Is that okay? Well, apparently, Silo's been keeping track, so you just got to let us know of what that leaderboard looks like for everyone following us. But I do want to give a little shout out there to Nevada there, the VARD. Stevie G is in the house. And we did, I think someone mentioned and said the fact that Steven Gerrard's made his move to Aston Villa is finally going to get some airtime on the show. And I think that is an accurate assessment. So much so that we did consider having VARDs on this evening. But we're just thinking, we don't know how his first performance is going to be. Let's see how Gerrard does after a couple of games, and then we'll get his expertise onto the show.
Is Vard a Villa fan?
Yeah.
Oh, I never knew that.
Wow.
I should have asked him.
Wow. I think we need to We need to find a fan. Is Vaz is from South Africa, right?
Yeah. He actually, fun fact, is my neighbor. This guy I know is an Aston Villa fan. Because whenever Aston Villa used to play, I would hear him screaming.
We need to find a fan of every single Premier League team in South Africa. That's the search, guys. So we need to find a Norwich fan. That would be the hardest thing to do. Or Burnley. Burnley and Norwich would probably be the hardest.
It's a unicorn.
Yo, fun fact about Burnley, guys. Wonga, Burnley side. You know, we talk about they need to get relegated. It's their time. Their time is up. But one of the interesting facts is from a pressing perspective, after Liverpool, they're the second team that have run the most in terms of pressing. So I don't know if that leads to any sign that they will get relegated. I think there's a lot of commitment still shown in that club at the moment. Just putting that out there.
Hey, look at what Ajun is saying there.
True.
Aman transferred to Harvard. Yarra. And then he...
Jeez.
Okay,
Ajun.
These guys are big boys. Ajun finally made his way to the States, which is good. But we're missing another member, man. I'm missing another member. Let me say that.
Where is she? Wonga? Do you know?
Oh, there she is!
No way.
There she is!
Yeah.
There she is. It's like I knew she was coming on. Ah, look at that.
We're still waiting for a private flight to London, dear, just in case you're wondering.
I'm happy now. Dear's back, so I'm happy.
There we go. Arjun says he knew you'd say that. Right. Wonga, from a football perspective, I mean, we've covered a little bit on the introductions. Also, if you haven't joined our Discord channel, please feel free to do it. We've also selling shirts if you want those shirts because, you know, that's how we make the family club grow. And then now it is time to actually talk about the football. Wonga, we're going to open up with you because you were very, 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 very confident. We might as well start off with how you're feeling from the Arsenal camp. And Selo, please weigh in here too and what you think they are feeling in terms of this game traveling to Anfield after Wonga has completed his message.
I think you could say every single week because we're at the bottom of the log and now we're sitting there fifth in front of Man United. What a climb it has been. I think all the fans, obviously, they're just happy to see that that the players actually want to win games. I think that for me is the most exciting thing. And now we're coming to Liverpool. I don't know if the players will feel the same, but as I do. But I think, Liverpool, they obviously would be the favourites to take the game. But if you think about it, Arsenal themselves also have nothing to lose. You know, if they lose this game also, it won't put a dent on probably their aspirations for the league. It'll just be a normal thing. But again, it can't be something where we get there and then we get hammered 4-3-0, you know. I think Arsenal can trouble Liverpool, especially with the way our defense has been performing of late. As well going forward, I think we can get a goal, but winning the game, I'll be honest with you, it will be difficult. But obviously now, I am more confident than I was before.
Where's the belief?
Yeah? No, the belief is there, trust me. It's better than what it was. Look, Liverpool's a good team, I cannot lie. But like, if you said last year, I think you guys remember when you said last year you were playing Liverpool, there was just maybe, I would hope, but reality would kick in, it'd be like, you know, it's going to be a walkover. So I do believe this will be different. The guys will be fighting for it. Like Smith Rowe, Saka, Ramsdale get there, in the England team. They played against, a pub team, but yeah, I mean, they still got the, it still counts as a cap, for all Ramsdale. Everyone is playing well.
Even him saying
this
that.
Is what I want.
I don't know if you heard that, Silo, but also just shout out Pums. I don't know if you heard, but it's been announced, and it was announced on this show that you are the number one goal launch fan according to Selo's ranking. So he's put that out we need to put that out on social media.
That's according to me, and you know my attendance record is sky high. So when it's coming from me, you better. It holds up weight.
Yeah, I mean that is tonight. It's his 93rd appearance for goal launch, and the same with you, Wonga. You two are battling it out for who who edges who, but it's a good race. It's better than the Hamilton's Verstappen race for who gets the most goal lounge caps.
Yeah, don't worry, sir. I won't kick you out the way, Silo. Don't worry. I won't like kick you or poison your drink there or something. No.
But interesting what Arjun says here. I think he's shut up a lot of people. Aaron Ramsdale. But I wonder, has he shut up Wonga?
Mm-mm.
What?
No. Wonga's still on the fence with that guy. Still on, very much on the fence there.
The guy's done well. I mean, you can't deny it. He shut me up. He shut a lot of people up. And I was one of the guys. Are you shocked by spending 24 million on someone? I mean, that got relegated. I think even his manager came out and said that if he played like that for them, he wouldn't have got relegated. Yeah, chuckle. But, look, it's obviously they bought him for a reason, and obviously, maybe he's showing what they're voting for. But again, I'm just happy we're keeping it tight at the back. We're not leaking in goals 4 or 5, like a Man City. And that's why I think, and even Jason's mentioned it there, that, it's international break. And we know after international break, teams are shaky, bro. Van Dijk can't even remember Salah no more. Doesn't remember the guy right next to him. Smith Rowe. Maybe you can take advantage of that, you know? So that's all I'm hoping for.
Okay. I don't know. Apparently, according to Vard, he's saying Stevie G is going to take down Liverpool at Anfield. I don't know what you guys think about that. We might as well touch on that before we go further the Liverpool-Arsenal sort of game. The Stevie G appointment, Aston Villa. Gentlemen, how are we feeling about this? Selo, your opinion here overall. Good move, bad move for Aston Villa?
No, I think it's a very good move, man. I think a former player in the mold of Stevie G in terms of what the path that he's gone on currently in terms of to get to where he is. It's been an interesting path. Obviously, coaching in the youth teams at Liverpool first, and then now going across to Scotland and being unbeaten in the league campaign and winning the Rangers' first title in quite some time. You know, I mean, Celtic had been dominating for the longest time. And, you know, obviously they've got more fans than Rangers, but Rangers actually won the league, you know. So I think he did very well at Rangers. He had a season before that, you know, obviously where I think he came second, and then he won the league, and then he was leading the league currently when he left. And he did decently in the Europa League. Obviously, he didn't take them as far as probably he would have liked. But I think it's a great appointment for Aston Villa. Aston Villa are historically a big club. You know, I think... it's debatable, but I think Aston Villa is a bigger club than Newcastle. You know, because they actually...
Boy, he said it. He said they, it.
They I wish a, they have a European Cup. They have a European Cup. They have a Champions League. You know what I mean? Yep. So, so they've got something that Newcastle doesn't have. So I think they're a big club. You know, biggest club in the Midlands, in Birmingham. So it's a good appointment. Interested to see how he does. You know, I think... listen... You know, I think Steven Gerrard was a great Premier League player. Let's see what he does, man. And it will be a good test for him. Different level to the Scottish League. Has some good players at his disposal. So let's see what he does.
Also, the one thing I'm excited about is he's looking already to bring in one of the players that he signed for Rangers. He's trying to bring him to Aston Villa, Ryan Kent. And when I was seeing him at the youth level at Liverpool, I thought he was a good player with huge prospects. And Liverpool themselves thought the player had the potential. So when they sold him, two Rangers, they sold the sell-on clause, I think, for 20%. So if he makes that move to Premier League, I mean, it's a win-win for Liverpool. Obviously, not if Steven Gerrard comes back to Anfield and gets those 3 points, which I don't think will happen. He loves the club too much, Vard. So let's just put that one out there. That's also one of the reasons why I'm happy. He's come back to the league to take off points from other sides and help Liverpool. Hey, Wonga.
Nah, I don't think he loves Liverpool. Well, his love for Liverpool, I don't think you can even put a number to it, but no, I don't think that's the case. But I mean, like, I think that move, great for both people, great for Gerard, great for, no ways. That, no.
What's up,
nah,
man?
Nah.
Aston Villa, bigger club than Arsenal. I think with Steven Gerrard officially there, yes. I think that's a fact. I think it's a factual. It's out in the universe now, eh? No?
Yo. No, but the one thing that Arsenal has going for them is the amount of league titles they have. So I think that's
FA Cups.
That, that goes past what Aston Villa's done. So sorry Vance, you tried one day. What I said about Aston Villa being bigger than Newcastle, you guys can clip it, you can clip that and show to Nick.
But yeah, I think for Gerard, I even think it's like Silo was saying, I think the progression he's taken is good. And I think he would do well I think he'd do well at any club that he coaches. I think just the professionalism he has, the kind of person he is, obviously him going to Rangers, you could see that, I mean, the way that the Rangers are playing, you could see that he's actually put his mindset into the team, you know, into everyone else, and they've almost had the same energy he would have on the pitch. And I think that's what made Rangers dangerous, obviously, in the last seasons. And yeah, it would be interesting to see if he's able to do that again and I think he would also challenge himself to the same thing, to see if he can do it at Aston Villa as well. That's what I would like to see, to be honest with you.
So, I mean, I don't think we can doubt the man's professionalism. And I think the reason he got success in Scotland was to that point. I think he's carried over the same mentality as player into manager, and he's finding players to buy into that largely because of his professional career as a footballer, which is always the hardest task of any manager. And if you look at Brendan Rodgers, that was something he struggled with when he took over at Liverpool. So that's something he's already going to demand the respect of the English players and all other players as he walks through the dressing room. So that's hugely on his side. But one thing I want to ask you two is that when we're considering, yes, he did get the title, you know, for Rangers after so many years. But realistically, when we're looking at the league, it's normally a competition between two sides. And the rest, you know, it's just pretty much where are you not going to drop points. And we saw how he struggled in Europe. Now, that's not a concern for Aston Villa at this moment in time. But do we think, I know the people, it's the same, I've already touched on this previously, the people are the same mold as Steven Gerrard, working class, that's something he can buy into. But how do we think he's going to start? Do you think if there's going to be an immediate uplift, we're going to get that manager bounce from the club?
I think so. I definitely think so. I think, guys, Aston Villa last season played so well. You know what I mean? They played so well under Dean Smith. You know, just unfortunate this season. You know, I think the loss of Jack Grealish has affected them. I think that in itself, you know, it's not helped them. You know what I mean? You being so dependent on one player. Even last season, you saw when Jack Grealish got injured, you could see that he's missing. He's not there. You know what I mean? So I think in that regard, it will help to have a fresh set of eyes coming into the club, because a manager that doesn't know what Aston Villa is with Jack Grealish. So that will help, because then at least he can just come in there with new ideas and just look at the players at his disposal. Whereas Dean Smith is still kind of saying, "Ish, I actually wish, you know, that Jack Grealish was still here." You know what I mean? So I think that'll definitely help him. He's playing. Who's he playing this weekend? He's playing. Who's he playing?
Brighton. He's playing Brighton.
He's playing Brighton.
Yeah, Brighton.
Inform Brighton.
A good footballing side, you know. So it's going to be a tricky game, but I think he'll definitely he'll win one of his first two games.
I think with Gerrard, I think what you'll get at least is you'll get a bit more consistency from Aston Villa. So I'm thinking. It won't be easy, but I think, you definitely will get a little bit more consistency there. I think I don't think it's, in terms of what you're saying with the Champions League, I mean, going into Europe and now not doing so well, I think then again, you look at also the players as well, maybe. I don't think has he done worse off than the guys there before, you know? I'm not sure. I haven't looked at that. But I mean, the way he won the league.
It was the first league title in 10 years, eh?
Exactly, yes. And the circumstances, you know what I mean. And if you think about it, I mean, let's say he says, look, he's not a magician, you know, but he's won at least one thing they haven't touched, you know, in a long time. And I think he can get Aston Villa to play well, better.
And I think that's a key point, Gerard. It had been a while before they won anything, but first and foremost, he got the fans to buy into what he's doing, got the players to buy into what he's doing, and they all got behind the team. And I think you're going to find this opening game at home against Brighton will be one where the fans will start looking around and going, we've got this name. Yeah, sure, he's not a household name in terms of a managerial sort of realm, but as a player, all of a sudden, you know, historically, he's a legend. So now we can start believing, we can start looking to our left and say, hey, if we're going to attract this sort of guy, why can't we attract better players with the money that we'll throw at them? And also the advantage I think that he has is because of the Grealish leaving, there's a lot more players that came into the club. So it's a new start for pretty much everyone. It's almost like a restart for the season for them. So let's see how that pans out for Aston Villa in the opening game. Some interesting questions here, gentlemen, saying Man City not being considered as a big club. Who would be your big club? Like, Spurs also not mentioned in Amman's sort of top six. If I'm looking at the top six, saying Liverpool, United, Arsenal, Chelsea, Newcastle and Villa before Spurs and Man City. I don't know what you gentlemen think about that.
No, take out Newcastle and put in Everton. Because I think Everton have got more league titles than Newcastle, right? Yeah, they do. They do.
And they've been in the Premier League longer.
They've been Premier League longer. They've never. I think the team obviously not to have ever gotten relegated is Arsenal, and I think then second is I think Everton has probably done the second best in terms of that. But they, I know Everton's got league titles that I could and Newcastle. I don't know. They got like one something.
Wongo, what do you think?
No, I agree with that. I don't think you can't put a Man City there.
Nine league titles, guys. Everton's got nine league titles. That's a lot, guys. Come on.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Okay, so wait. What constitutes a big club then, if we're looking at it? Is it only titles, the recent success? So, like, what so is it? We're looking at Nick.
History. Speak, history.
Yeah, history. As well as community. Community is a huge part, too.
Community, yeah.
Yeah, longevity has to be there as well. Yeah, you can't now. I mean, a team just come and then, just win three or four titles and now they're considered a big team. I think staying up is also a big thing in itself. They might just win the league, you know. I mean, they're not also considered Leicester because they've got a league title and they won it in the most craziest way. I mean, just after being promoted, you know. But yeah, so I think, yeah, I agree with that in terms of Tottenham. Yeah, they haven't won anything, eh?
Guys, Tottenham don't probably.
They haven't won anything. Like, they're there.
Guys, Newcastle has four league titles. The last one in 1927. Come on, guys. How could that be a big club? 1927? Nah, man. Guys, well, come on.
This is why I'm referring back to the community.
Yeah, this is asking.
Despite where they are, that stadium is packed week in, week out. And if they get the performances that they need and, you know, the right sort of everything,
Everton,
you know,
Everton
they could transform quicker.
Everton won in 1987, bro. That's recent. Come on, guys. Recent, some names
before both of you were born.
That's recent. Yeah, 1927 versus 1987. That's 60 years apart.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, if Matt was listening to this conversation right now, I think he'd be worried because his place in the squad is under jeopardy. I mean, we might be looking for other players. And it's a good thing we don't even have a Man City fan. That's the reason, because apparently they're not a big club. But let's move on, gents. We're gonna be looking at the first game of the weekend, the Leicester City versus Chelsea. And why this is interesting is because Brendan Rodgers, despite Ole Gunnar Solskjaer not wanting to leave his post as a United manager and believing that he deserves more credit, apparently Brendan Rodgers being linked with the move for next season as the manager at Old Trafford. So that's quite an interesting one. So Leicester City versus Chelsea. I don't know what we think about this, gentlemen.
Guys, Brendan Rodgers is being linked with even to replacing Pep once he leaves, you know what I mean? So I think Brendan Rodgers is regarded, highly regarded in the Premier League. I think he's done some good stuff. But I think, you know, hey man, obviously Leicester have had a patchy start to the season, you know, up and down. So it'll be a good test against the Chelsea. But I think they should probably get their levels up for a match against Chelsea. Chelsea, obviously, I think, you know, riding high, haven't conceded much, very difficult to beat. So I think it'll be a very interesting game. It'll be good to obviously see, you know, I think the tactical battle, you know, so it'll be a good start to the weekend. I think two good managers against each other.
Yeah, look, you see, I think Chelsea, what's going to happen?
Sorry, okay, don't you love that, Celo? Before Wonga goes, there's a moment of pause, and he goes, Yeah, look, and then it's processing. And it's like, yes, where are we going with this one? Where are you going with
no.
this? You got us on a journey. You got us in more suspense than the Goal Lounge post. That's all I'm saying for Friday's announcement. So where are you going with this one, Onga?
I'm just looking at Chelsea, and obviously their form. I don't think they've lost a game yet. They have lost against
Man City.
In the league.
Man City.
In the league? Oh, I don't know. Yes, but okay, they've conceded
1-0, yeah.
Oh yes, you're right. You're right, thank goodness. So they've only conceded 4, they're on a good run. And I'm just looking at Leicester. They're good sometimes, and even against big teams, you know, they're good. But when they play against Arsenal as well, I think they're also a bit flat. Arsenal did play well; they were flat, and I think the consistency you'd expect it more from a Chelsea, and that's why I think maybe Leicester would be the ones, even though they're playing at home. I think Leicester would be the ones who would struggle in this match. And I've said it before, I've told even Musa when he was here, is that Chelsea, when they defend, you can see they don't want to concede. You know, the whole team is involved there. It's just they don't want the ball in the back of the net, you know, at all costs. They throw bodies on the line, and they've also got Mendy as well, you know. So, yeah, it'll be a very difficult one for Leicester, I think, come the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point that you mentioned the defense, because the last game they played, they ended up only leaving with the point, or should I say keeping a point at home against Burnley. So, it means if they do it right, the only problem with Leicester City is we know they're quite an expansive sort of team, and they haven't been showing the promise that they showed last season. I think where they're currently, they're sitting 12th on the log. Their form doesn't read too great either. I mean, they're due to Leicester last game, and they lost to Arsenal. Which we saw that game up front.
They drew to
Leeds, and then at away from home, and then they lost to Arsenal. So those are their last two games. So it's going to be interesting from a Chelsea perspective. But yeah, they are currently the informed team in the league.
Chelsea have only conceded 4.
Yeah.
That's a very good defense. Very good defense. Very solid at the back.
11.
You know, it shows the defensive solidity that they have, guys. I think when you play Chelsea, guys, it's tough team to break down.
Yeah. Scored the most. Don't it, haven't.
Are we gonna give predictions game by game, or do you guys want to do it at the end with quick fire predictions? Because Aman's already giving us a prediction here.
And Arjun said 2-0, and then Dia says she's lived in Leicester before.
Might as well.
So Leicester 5-0. Yeah, let's give a prediction. Yeah.
If there are any, I was gonna say, if there are any punters out there gonna be placing bets, just go with what Dia said, because this is how the universe works and the betting world works. You know, if someone lived in Leicester and they said it was gonna be a 5-0 victory, you tend to put your money on that and you walk away with something. So, Wanga, Selo, let's hear those predictions for the Leicester versus Chelsea game.
I'll say it's 2-0 to Chelsea.
Okay. I think it's going to be a 2-1 victory to Chelsea.
Yeah, you can't. You can't go with Chelsea. Gents, you just can't.
No, don't worry. He's giving predictions because of where he is in the league. He's not giving predictions.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at now.
He's giving Wonga type predictions, yeah.
I've been learning every Thursday when Wonga puts his Muti out there. He just says, as long as every other team drop points, you know, we'll be
around
fine.
Him.
And they've been dropping
around
points.
Around him, yeah.
To adopt the same philosophy, you know. But I do think, yeah, Chelsea's going to walk away with 3 points. And I'm going to set a 2-0 victory standard there. Leicester City, it's going to go. It'll be a tight game. And then as the game will draw on, they'll get tired. And I think Chelsea will get one. And then towards the end, Leicester will push on for points. And Chelsea will sneak one right there, making it a 2-0 victory. Those are my thoughts. But we have covered Aston Villa quite a lot. But they are playing Brighton. And Brighton have hit the ground running. Graham Potter, you know, a lot of names being thrown out there, but Graham Potter being linked to some jobs now because of his performance as a Brighton manager. Only also level on points with Man United. I don't know if that's a positive for Brighton or really negative for Ole, but we're going to look at this game, Aston Villa Brighton. Gentlemen, what do you think is going to happen here?
Oh, I think it's going to be a draw. I think it's going to be a draw.
I think it'll be a tough one for Aston Villa. I mean, if they wanted to go out there, I think Brighton's would be favourite for me. I'd go, yeah, they're playing. Yeah, I'd also go for a draw. I'd say 1-1. I mean, Aston Villa playing at home. Stevie G's there, new manager. But Brighton as well. So they're not, you're not going to break them easy. Even Arsenal struggled to score against them. So, yeah.
They've been playing very well, I think. You know, I like Brighton's brand of football. You know, they play a nice brand of football. And yeah. I think the signings that they've made this season as well have been good. You know, there's this the left wing back that they've got who came to the Barcelona development and was at Getafe. He's doing quite nicely. Obviously, we know Yves Bissouma is one of the best centre mids in the Premier League. Then we've got Neil Maupay up front, who's always dangerous. Trossard also dangerous. So they've got some good players, man. I think definitely it won't be easy for Villa. So I think a draw.
And I think that's a good shot to draw because right now, what is it, 5 games in a row that Villa have lost, which is also the reason Dean Smith got sacked. Brighton, despite their performances and them sitting 7th in the log, it's 4 draws and 1 loss in 5 games. Mm. So when you're looking at that, probably the likely outcome is a draw because Gerrard would take a point right now. And I think a draw would be away from home for Brighton wouldn't be the worst result in the world when you consider just trying to stay in the league. So, and also, let's also factor in that the crowd's probably going to get behind Villa. So, if he does what he does, Gerrard gets the players behind the ball, keep it tight at the back, then there could be a frustrating result for Brighton. But,
yeah.
I will say, if Gerrard comes in there doing what he wants to do, which I don't think he would do up front, but he does like playing in a similar fashion to a Klopp in terms of playing a 4-3-3 type of mold, playing wing backs, pressing high up the park. So, it's going to be very, very interesting to the tone at which Aston Villa start the game, I think. I don't know what you gentlemen think about that. How you think they'll set up.
No, I think I agree with you. In that sense, he's going to get in there, obviously, not change things too quickly. But, yeah, I mean, he needs the results because of, I mean, flipping lost, like your own belief, you know. New energy, they're playing at home. But again, like I said, it won't be easy because Brighton, I mean, you can see that they can hold out a draw if they wanted to. I think I agree with you on that.
How many places has Dia lived in if Villa's winning 3-0?
All right, so wait, what is the score? What did you say, Wonga? What is your final score there?
What did I not predict? I said 1-1.
Same, 1-1.
I'm going to say 1-0 victory for Stevie G. Let's get the 3 points. Let's get the change of form, their good fortunes for Aston Villa. Right. Newcastle-Brentford. Also, another debut for a new manager. We got Eddie Howe. Pity Nick isn't here because he would have told us or given us at least 15 minutes as to what the training sessions are now entailing with Newcastle. So, Eddie Howe making an appearance there versus Amiens Brentford. It's going to be an interesting game, especially at home. Do we think it's going to be a raucous crowd?
Yeah, it has to be, guys. I think obviously the first match after the takeover, you know, there was a lot of energy in the club. You know, listen, we don't want Newcastle to be relegated for Nick's sake and for I think the Saudi backers' sake as well. I think we want them at least to still survive. You know, we want Burnley to go down. And Watford can go down because they're a yo-yo club. And obviously Norwich can also go down. You know, but
yeah.
This is going to be an interesting game. Brentford have had a bit of a pothole along the way of their journey. You know, they hit a pothole. You know, so
four games in a row now that they've lost.
They started very well, and then now the realization of the Premier League is coming to hit them hard. You know, you get excited for. To play against an Arsenal, to play against a Chelsea, to play against a Liverpool. But then now when you play against, you know, you play against Crystal Palace, you're not up for it and they'll beat you. You know what I mean? Your Leeds, they'll beat you. You know what I mean? Your Villa, they'll beat you. Southampton. Southampton's playing very well. You know what I mean? Southampton and Palace have just drawn a lot of games. You know, so you need to be up for it, especially against the teams around you. Because if you don't, then, hey man, you'll be exposed.
So you're saying Brentford, the startup club, were on a bit of a sugar rush, and now the sugar rush
is...
Yeah, yeah.
They need to fight some. They need to fight some venture capitalists to put some more energy to them, bro.
Red Bull, bro. Red Bull. Let's just get those investors there, make them Red Bull Brentford, and they'll be fine. They'll be running for days, competing in the top of the top half of the league. Yeah. No. No. Wonga, what are your thoughts, sir?
Good.
Yeah. Look, I agree with you on that point. I can't add more to that. Well, I'm saying I wouldn't want to repeat what you're saying. How it'll turn out, also a very difficult one. New manager, so different degree of new energy. This is what Nick has been calling out for a long time, I think. And then he will. What's that? What's he saying? So I think.
Read it. You gotta read it, folks.
You gotta read it.
So that listeners can know what the comments
Those who are gonna be listening via podcast, they need to know.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So they're saying, I always wanted to stay in a castle, so 3-0 to Newcastle.
And also, I do want to point this out. Whatever she's saying today, just keep an eye on it and place those bets. Even if the results on 3-0, 5-0 by a scoreline. If the result's going one way, just, you know, take a wild punt on that. If you want to put $20 or whatever, and let's see who wins some money. And if not, Dia will fly you in a private jet to London.
And I think also, so Nick was saying, I mean, obviously his team, I think everyone agrees, they're not having the best players, but the players are also not players that deserve to get relegated, you know. And now they've got, a decent manager in charge. And it's what the fans are, according to when you hear what they're saying, according to the fans, this is what they've always wanted. And answering your question, I think when Brentford get there, they're gonna have one hell of a reception from Newcastle, because right now they have everything they've ever wanted, you know, what they've been asking for. I mean, sure, they don't have Alex Ferguson as their manager, but yeah, they've got a better manager. They've got the money. I don't think they could actually ask for more at this stage, to be honest with you.
Guys, what is the term that Newcastle used when they announced Eddie Howe, man? Didn't they say?
I didn't hear.
Ah, man, I forgot it, but...
I don't know. I just want to comment on the fact of what Pum's saying here, and also he's saying relegate this team, so I'm not sure if he's referring to the startup club or to the big historic club.
I think he's talking about Burnley.
Burnley.
He's talking about Newcastle.
Newcastle. Yeah, Newcastle, that's what I'm saying. Right? Yeah. Not Newcastle, startup club. Historic club, he wants out. But we know Nick's not here, but we do want to comment on the fact that Eddie Howe sort of effect that we need to be observing here. Immediately, the man comes into the club. Tweets were going out. He was really walking into the club for training, I think at 6:30 in the morning. So he's already gone. And if you read a lot of reports, one thing they say about Eddie Howe is Eddie Howe is very meticulous in his training sessions. And if you consider what he did with, and I know we've touched on this in the past, but from a Bournemouth perspective, in terms of the growth that he got out of the players and how he was able to get the players to reach the new level. I mean, players that were in lower divisions then became Premier League players because he was able to, firstly, technically evolve them, and then secondly, from a confidence level, make them believe that. So that's the sort of effect that he can have on the team. Also, they say he might come across as a nice guy, but when there are times where decisions need to be made, he can be useless. So that's something that you kind of need, I think, in any big manager or at any big club. So, and if he's got that, it's going to be nice to see from a potential what he can do with a Newcastle from that perspective. But time for the results. Let's hear the quick fire. Wonga, what do you think is going to be that game? Result in that game.
2-0. 2-0 to Newcastle.
Oof. That's good. Yeah. Okay.
2-1 to Newcastle. Brentford and a bit of a slump.
So this is their time to get their first 3 points of the season. And I think it might be a good classic English tie where we're going to see hard tackles. We're going to see Newcastle players trying to play for their places at their club, because their places now, and I think the new manager will also say this, he'll call them in one by one. Oh, that's another thing that he did within the first week. He made them all run fitness tests to see where they are. I mean, that's shocking. He's pretty much having a pre-season with his squad because of where they are. So I think he's also going to have the frank conversation saying, listen, gents, you haven't been performing well. We do know this is the age of the new era, so to speak. You're going to be playing for your contract. You're going to be playing for your jersey. And
no more chowing pies at lunch.
Mm-mm. That's now, if you want to do it recreationally with your old buddy there, Steve Bruce, you know, maybe when he watches a cricket game, go grab a pie, but not anywhere near the stands or the training ground. So, yeah, I'm going to go Newcastle and 2-0 Newcastle. And now, Cello, it's time to talk about your game here. Apparently, Donny van der Beek might get game time. He's already looking for other clubs. What's Ollie doing here? Watford versus Man United. Can Ranieri, Claudio, have an effect at home? Can he get the results? Oh, Wonga saying yes.
Yeah.
Ooh-wee. Well, that was me once in a while.
Claudio. Yeah, bro. It's all over the place, man.
Ooh, yeah, I remember those days.
Shambolic. Listen. So, where do I start with my club? I think the first and foremost is we have a manager that is a manager in name only. Because we're calling for, all everyone's calling for his head. You know what I mean? Even Rio Ferdinand is now calling him out. You know what I mean? But in all honesty, guys, I think, you know, Solskjaer went away during the international break. He went home. He went to Norway last week, Monday.
You know, people are this is already what Steve Bruce did. This is the Vibes United, Steve Bruce vibes.
Yeah, so...
Maybe he's having pies in Norway. Salmon pies.
So he went to Norway during the international break on the Monday. And listen, if you try to fix your squad, right, or fix your team in terms of defensive makeup, right, you should be staying back and figuring shit out with your coaches and figuring out new methods and consulting, whatever. Don't bloody go home to Norway unless if you're going to go home, you stay in Norway and you never come back. You know what I mean? That would have been perfect, you know? But, you know, Donny van der Beek, Sancho, Lingard, Rashford, Telles, they didn't go on international break. Matic, you know what I mean? These guys are still there. You can work with them, you know, do something.
Could you imagine rocking up at training, going, we're ready for training. Where's the coach? Oh, no, he's gone back home.
You see?
All right, boys, I'm going to take the training session for this evening. Yeah, let's do it.
Exactly. Oh, man. So.
But this is funny because I was the same. I remember Cello, you want your team to win. You want, you've got the players. Yeah, they should. But you know, come match day.
You know, guys, the worst thing is currently with this United side, right? Is that last season, guys, there were moments where you were questioning Solskjaer, right? But when they got it right, they got it right. Do you understand what I'm saying? This season, there is no getting it right. Do you understand what I'm saying? There hasn't been a moment where he's gotten it right. You know, he's been very lucky. You know, individual brilliance of Bruno Fernandes, Ronaldo, even a volley from Mateles, you know what I mean, Greenwood, Rashford, and so on and so forth. So he's been very lucky in games where we've ended up winning the game or we ended up drawing the game from losing positions or a game we should have lost. So I think this season, man, it's just shambolic. It's all over the place. I think the fact that we've signed three world-class players and only, Varane has been injured, but when he has played, he's played very well. Ronaldo has scored goals. But you signed Jadon Sancho for the right wing berth, but you haven't even used him at right wing. And now you're even thinking about using him right wing back. Like, what? Like, fuck off, bro. Get out of here, man. This is bullshit, man. You know, excuse my French for all those under 16 or under 18 people who weren't expecting those type of slurs and everything. But, hey, man.
Hey, man, you got to express yourself.
And listen,
I'm just saying, coming into this, Watford coming into this, as a man who dwelled at the bottom of the league for quite a bit, when you're in those dark places, you realize that when a team comes, or when you go to their home, they believe. The name Man United means nothing when they go to Watford. Watford are going to see. They're going to see 3 points. That's all they're going to see. And they're going to try and take them. International break. Man United, poor form. Coach just went on holiday. Yo. And he's licking his lips. He's like, guys, these are points we can take. Let's take them now.
He's also a vibes manager, Claudio. Yeah.
But what Akil is saying is very true. Like, you know, the Watford game really doesn't matter because we're playing Villarreal on the Tuesday. So the Villarreal game is actually the most important game for Solskjaer, because more than anything as well is that I think the squad and the board want us to get into the next phase of the Champions League, because there's obviously more money to be made once we go to Champions League further and further and further. But hey, man, it's the planning, guys. Planning is a big thing in life, guys, especially in an organization. An organization needs to have succession planning. If you take out a manager, you need to have someone that you guys are earmarking to maybe take on the role, right? Or alternatively, in this instance, right, Man United's biggest problem is that the board doesn't want to get a manager that will want control of a lot of aspects that they have ceded control to people who actually don't know what they're doing. So they so you know, the managers that have been spoken to, they say, you need to give me full control, you know. But Solskjaer is a yes man, so that's why they love him and that's why they appreciate him and everything. You know, they just say, do this. He doesn't speak out against the board. He doesn't say anything against the board. And that's why they love it, because he's the luckiest man in the world. He's got one of the biggest jobs in sports, and he's done nothing to earn it.
But, Senil, this is the thing, and this is why he's earned the trust, and this is why they are giving him the time. But the one thing I do want to talk about is the fact that he has made this decision to go home. Now, everything you've said, everything we're saying outside looking in, from a fan's perspective, it's obvious. If you're not getting it right, you've got to stay there, and you've got to make it work until you get it right. He's obviously left the place for a lot of reasons, and we could say if we empathize with Ole from this perspective, and it's a hard thing to do right now for any United fan, but there's a lot of noise. And maybe he's fully aware that the club, because he has the relationship with the board that he has, maybe he is aware that the club have started looking for alternatives. So he's going, well, I'm just going to keep having fun until the axe does come down on me eventually. Because there's no way realistically he's going to turn it around and go win the Premier League or win the Champions League from where they are right now. So his job is pretty much, you know, he's a dead man walking, so to speak, from a managerial perspective. But the other thing I want to look at, and it needs some sort of discussing, because I kind of highlighted there might be issues. Now, when we're looking into it, you probably know where I'm going with this, but when you're looking into it, it's not as bad when the performance is from a United perspective, but from the Portuguese perspective, when Bruno and Ronaldo are playing together in the same team, it's just not happening. And how much has Ronaldo affected the potential of Bruno and his performances? That's the question I'm asking here.
Who created the goal for Ronaldo against Tottenham?
Yeah, but I'm saying if you look at in terms of the goal return from last season versus the goal return now, you're talking about one chance created. I'm asking you, and I'm not asking from a defensive perspective.
Who created the goal in the Champions League against
Young Boys? So you think there's no problem? You think he's performing the same he did last season? He's performing at the same level? As a United fan right now, honestly speaking, you think he's performing at the same level?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with Bruno's performance. I don't see anything wrong with Bruno's performance. I think if you have got a focal point as a striker that scores goals, why do you have to worry about Bruno's goals? If Bruno's creating chances, Bruno's created the most chances in the Premier League out of every player in the Premier League. Go look at those stats, Claudio. Most chances created in the Premier League of any player is Bruno Fernandes.
So all the talk and everything else that's being said throw him in there, Wonga. Nice. So you're saying it's all fallacy right now. So you are happy is what you're saying. Because I asked you the question, and you pull in the space like I'm a crazy man, and I'm just asking the question.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's the noise on social media. You know what I mean? I think that's the problem, is that we just hear all noise. You need to look at the player and ask yourself, is Bruno creating chances? Yes or no? That's the question. If he is creating chances, then there's no issue, because he's supposed to be a creator. And yes, maybe he doesn't have as much goals as
so, last season. So what, but I'm hearing, you're saying the performance level's the same as last season. So you're saying if you had to compare his performances for the club last season to this season, it's the same.
But there was a lot more expected of him last season without
Ronaldo. I'm just asking, that's all I'm asking.
Because he's the same performances.
So same most performances, chances. Then you're happy. You're happy. Yeah, so you're just saying if the manager is getting this completely wrong, the player hasn't been impacted by Ronaldo at all, even though he was main man last season, this season he's taken a step back and not being the main man.
It's actually good for Bruno, because then at least it's not too much pressure for him, where he's going to be trying too many things too often. So now at least he can just keep it a bit more simple, put some passes together and create the chances that he's been creating.
Wonga, this is a double stab. This is a United and an Arsenal stab here.
What's those peep odds? What are you saying? The United fan is delusional, just like the AFTV. Goodness me, can't listen to that.
But Akil saying, I don't agree with that. Said Bruno didn't start for Portugal. It's a myth. They can play. It's a myth that they can't play together. They are managed by two pragmatic, out of depth managers. Can we agree on that?
So the managers are out of their depth, both of them. But I'm just saying, the moments that you've seen Bruno connecting with Ronaldo on the field, that like he puts balls on a platter or on or in a position where only Ronaldo can take advantage of such chances. For instance, you know what I mean? There's one where he hit it with outside of his foot. Do you know what I mean? Yes, Bruno. There's certain things. What I feel is that in terms of the pressing, I think that's where obviously it's exposed.
Needs coaching.
It needs coaching. You know what I mean? Because what you find, right, is that Ronaldo doesn't press, right? And then Bruno's an erratic presser. So because Bruno's an erratic presser and Ronaldo doesn't press, then you bypass the two very quickly.
But you know what's interesting about the Ronaldo not pressing thing? And I know we're giving far too much airtime now for United considering they are playing Watford. But the United not pressing thing, he's still Ronaldo. And when he isn't pressing, positionally, he's still getting into the right positions, forcing the 100%. Other players to close the space. So there's a lot 100%. Of noise centered around that. But it does, again, 100%. It's going to take coaching. And I think to Akil's point, two managers that are out of depth. I think the Portuguese manager, because I can speak from that perspective, this is a manager who's got too much talent on his hands, doesn't know how to utilize the talent.
Yeah,
and
that's
arguably, Akil, you're saying a pragmatic manager. I think if the manager stuck to his pragmatism, we'd probably be getting the results across the line. Right now, he doesn't know what he's doing, and he understands he's got talented players, and he needs to play progressive football, but he doesn't know how to approach it, and he's getting it horribly wrong, and he's chopping and changing. It's just not working from that perspective. That's a Portugal front.
He doesn't even know his best team. Guess who doesn't know his best team?
Exactly. Same WhatsApp group.
Wonga, that's a problem.
Quick fire score, Selo.
It'll be 2-2 draw. Man United, when they struggle, they score a lot and they concede a lot. That's what I know. And I don't think they've solved their problems.
No, it'll be a 2-1 victory to Man United.
2-1 victory to Man United. Yeah, I'm going to say 2-1 victory. Nah, I'm going to say 1-0 victory Man United. They'll get it. I think it's one of those. Ollie's gone to Norway. You know why they're going to get the 3 points, Wonga? Ollie's gone to Norway and the players have coached themselves. That's what's going to go on here. This is how they're going to get the results. The ones who are left in the camp anyway. Shot. Right, gents, Wonga, for you, the big game, Liverpool versus Arsenal. It's a bigger game for you, I think. I don't know from a Liverpool perspective. I'm not the cockiest of Liverpool fans out there, but I did make a lot of unnecessary noise the last time for the sake of content, and it really backfired hard on me. So I'm going to be looking at this one with one eye.
So it's a big game. Opinion. When you lose, Claudio, what's going to happen? What happens if you lose?
Yeah, it's more noise. People like making noise.
We climb. We take another step. If you guys lose, that's a big game for you. It's heavy, hey? They know this is a cost to losing this game. It's a big one for you.
So you're saying there's more to lose from Liverpool in this sort of game than it is from Arsenal, is what you're saying?
No, we lose the same thing. If we lose, we've got Man United behind us. It's a big game for both of us. It's a big game for both teams. Top four. And you know, even last year, Liverpool as well, they were struggling. Jürgen Klopp doesn't want to be in the same situation that he was in last year, where now he has to fight the last season, till the end of the season to get a top four place, considering where they came from before. Arsenal, that would be comfortable with doing that. We'll be okay, considering where we have been. But, it's a big game for you guys. You lose 2-1 down. If Man United win, they get closer to you guys. Oh, they will want all 3 points Liverpool in this. And yeah, for us, this is probably, if I'm speaking realistically, this is where Arteta wants our battle to be in that top three. So if we win this, we'll be ecstatic with that win. What a
top three. Are you saying top three?
No, I'm saying, sorry, the top four. That's where he wants to be. Yeah. He wants to battle for this. He's here already. It's now it's his to lose. Think about it. The position is there. It's like Chelsea, their league to lose. They're there. That's what I'm saying.
Selo, do you buy into that statement that it's Chelsea at this point in the game? It's Chelsea's league to lose.
Wow, so premature.
They're there.
Wow.
No, I'm saying they're there. No, I'm saying they are there. Think about it. They are there.
to lose Wanga. 11 games in, you're talking about a team to lose. It's theirs to lose.
To be fair, this is an Arsenal fan that saw his side at the bottom of the log, and now all of a sudden they've climbed so quickly. Wanga. This is where
Wanga,
he's at.
Wanga,
is
they Wanga, are there.
But Wanga, you guys need to, if you guys want to be in the top four this season, this is the match that you need to win, or not lose.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so you guys 100%. Need to, but the fact of it's Chelsea's to lose, I don't know. But it's gonna be an interesting game. We could have said that a couple of weeks back that that Arsenal are gonna get relegated. You know what I mean? You know, but you know we're just bantering you.
That. Everyone said that.
But we're just bantering you. Come on, but it's a big game. It's a big game for Arsenal. Let's see what they can do. I think it's a true test. They've been playing very well. I think Arsenal and West Ham have been the two form sides over the last 4 weeks or so. They've been the ones obviously who've been getting the consistent results and not losing. So let's see what the Gunners can do. Obviously, I think Aubameyang didn't play the last game in Gabon because Gabon already couldn't qualify. So at least he would have probably gotten some rest. Salah didn't start for Egypt because they already had qualified, but he came off the bench. You know what I mean? So I think that bodes well for those individual players in terms of them being fresh and so on and so forth. But obviously the Brazilian guys, they had to travel after playing two games and obviously they were on a chartered plane, at least they returned. But it'll be an interesting game. I think Liverpool want to bounce back.
I think if you look at Arsenal says, it's a big game for us. Like I said, we're here, and I think Arteta definitely is going to be trying to be pushing for, that top four space, and he's going to want to try win this game. But I think also if he's looking at it, as a manager, looking at progress, I think what will also be key in this is that Arsenal now against Liverpool, they need to put in a performance where, they need to put in a good performance against Liverpool. So if they lose, they're the better team lost. Not that, these guys were just open, we were lost, we looked like we didn't know what we were doing, and then Liverpool smashed in five like they did against, Man United. I think that's what we don't want. We don't want to go there and fight for those 3 points. And if we don't get them, then we don't get them. But we must put our best foot forward. That's what I want to say.
And I mean the concerning side from a Liverpool perspective when they played Brighton. The goals they did concede were the second runner, and we know that right now the back four at Liverpool haven't been as consolidated as they have in previous times. I do think Selo's sort of observation with regards to Brazilian players coming back from Brazil and the travelling could fatigue him to a certain extent, but I think it's going to be the first time we see a Thiago Henderson and a Fabinho midfield three that start. And that might be interesting to see what they might do for the team and a bit uplifting the team and also controlling the game to a certain extent. I think when we play without, because like I said, there have been a lot of changes in the midfield, and without the sort of consistency of that midfield, it does give an opponent the opportunity to come back in the game and less control from Liverpool side, which is something that isn't very, that we haven't seen recently, so to speak. So it's going to be interesting to see what role they play from that side. I think when we're looking at an Arsenal perspective, if you're comparing an Arteta versus an Ollie, and I think this is why we have contrasting emotions here tonight, is that with Arteta, you can at least see there's some sort of coaching that's taking place here. And we're seeing what they can exploit from that perspective, and also the impact the goalkeeper's had. And let's see Ramsdale, whether or not he's going to be a big player on the day. I mean, he could be the one that's the difference, Wonga. And we're going to have a different chat.
Guys, Wonga has not even mentioned Ramsdale. Ramsdale got his debut for England during the week. Nothing, no praise, no well done. Nothing.
That's what I said. You were listening. I said it in the beginning. I said Ramsdale. I said Ramsdale. Saka and Smith Rowe were playing in the team. That's what I said. No, I gave him praise.
But it was an afterthought. It was an afterthought.
If I didn't hear it, it didn't happen.
You guys don't want to hear it.
Do you know those questions? I don't know if he is though. He's asking, is Partey fit? Is he saying if not, the midfield is going to be vulnerable? And this is the difference to when Liverpool play Arsenal. When Liverpool press Arsenal, that's where they've been found wanting, trying to play out from the back. And that's going to be interesting for me to see if Arteta adapts from a coaching perspective. Be like, well, instead of playing out from the back, let's actually play more direct. Let's put Liverpool on the back foot by getting into their areas and putting pressure in their areas, in their back third, if that makes sense. So that's going to be an interesting thing. I don't know. What do you think about that? Is Partey available?
I don't think he will be available. They said he looks like he will be. I don't think so. I think even the best thing to do is to rest the guy. Why risk him? Really, to be honest with you.
It's a big game, bro. It's a
because
big game.
But I'm talking about now. It's a big game, and we've got the season to play. You know.
You got the season to play, except you've got other games to recover because you're not playing as many games. So this is what you're playing for. You can't afford to not capitalize on a scenario like this.
He wasn't a part of the cheating scandal in Ghana, so you know, so he's arrested.
In London. So in South Africa his name's at least in the good.
Yeah, I don't see.
Yeah, but that Leicester defender, Amate, is, if I see him, he's
he's questionable. Partey is still questionable. If he's not fit, we'll have to go there without him. It would be a loss. I'm still of the view, I know you guys will disagree with me, but I'm still of the view that we need to, that guy's he's always it's been like that for him, you know, he's come back and then we forced him in and then boom, bang, injury.
It's like a cater.
We need to look at that. I mean, seriously, I mean, it's going to happen again. I mean, what if he plays and then he gets injured 20 minutes? What is the point of that? Then it just is your plan out the window now, you know? But I think the way Arsenal's been playing, even last time, I think Maitland-Niles started in the midfield the last game, put in a good performance. I think we need to look in ourselves. If Arsenal want to win this game, they need to go out there.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's give the predictions now, Wonga. Let's hear. What are your predictions?
Don't hear my prediction, I tell you. 2-1 Arsenal.
Love it, Wonga. Love it. I love it. I need that enthusiasm. Yes, your team's gonna win. I love it, man. Love it, man.
Yeah,
But I think that you guys are going to lose. But I love that you are optimistic.
Guys, we're going to surprise Liverpool come this weekend. Arsenal will step away from Man United.
Oh, I love this one.
Man United will take a draw and we'll step away from them. And then we'll take over Liverpool into third place.
Look, this is more of
absolute euphoria.
It's more of a nervous laugh on my side because you've been saying this on Thursdays and the St. Gomez have been listening and giving you what you want. So, Silo, what do you think is going to happen there?
Liverpool going to win, bro. 2-1.
Oh, goodness. With Ramsdale in goals, guys. The one you guys love so much. No ways.
Oh, so now you're backing Ramsdale. Is that what I'm hearing?
2-1. Nah, now, but look, our defense is strong. Our defense is strong. And I think that's what's giving me confidence going into this. 3-2. How are we going to concede? Yeah. Oh, 3-2 Gunners. Yes, I see. But how are we going to concede 2 goals? Anyways, I can see us conceding 1, but 2. Oh, asking a lot there, Claudio. I'm sorry, asking too much.
I mean, Wanga Denga, Udegaard, will he start?
That's the question one. Probably will be. Arteta likes that thing of throwing in a surprise sometimes. But if Partey is not there, he probably will look to do something like that. I mean, you can see him on the set pieces. He's looked good as well. And maybe we can take advantage of that. 4-1 Liverpool. Akil. Whoa,
Akil knows
brother.
Football. Akil knows football. He's showing.
Hold on, Akil.
That's what he's doing. He's telling you that, look, I know football. I know what's going to happen. Shall... That's what he's saying. 4-2 Liverpool. That's exactly
what he's
saying.
We shall see you on Tuesday with the same enthusiasm.
Yeah, Akil, come back here on Tuesday so we can keep this man quiet. But
I think
what's going to be tricky, it's going to be tricky because Arteta, if he reverts back to what he did when he just took over Arsenal, if we remember vaguely, he kept it tight at the back. He sat deeper. And I think when you're playing Liverpool, yes, Brentford took the game to Liverpool and sort of capitalized on the inconsistent midfield 3. you know, there were opportunities to expose, especially with Liverpool playing high. But if they're playing deeper and they're looking to counter, I think there's real opportunity for Arsenal. They can deny space. But again, if Salah decides to play on the day, then there's pretty much no stopping him. But I think it might be a one-goal difference. So I think Salah's sort of assessment for the 2-1 victory is accurate. Pumalani saying 90-plus winner for the Gunners. There are a lot of people saying Pums is in the Gunners corner here.
Now that you mentioned that, Claudio, like, you're right in that sense, is that I didn't even think about it because the way we've been playing recently. But yeah, he can't now change the way he's playing because it's Liverpool. And then now go and sit back. We'll get damaged. No ways.
So you're saying they're gonna be on the front foot again.
He needs to go out there. I'm saying he mustn't do what you have alluded to there. He mustn't do that. He must go out there and play the way we've been playing before. Play our best team. Our best players. Don't try and be. This is not a chess game, you know. This is. You know, you pay your best team. Do what you've been doing. Do what's been working. If that doesn't work, Arsenal fans will be okay with that. You know, they'll be okay with whatever happens there. But if he does something funny and we get hammered 5, no.
Then this becomes Arsenal TV on Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen. Just quick warning for that. Right. Final thoughts.
No.
Cyril, final thoughts for this evening. For the people listening, for everyone that joined us.
Thanks for everyone for joining, guys. It's good to have some of the old faces back. Arjun, your Amans, and your Diaz. And yeah, Pums, you're always here. Always keeping us company, which is great. Chelsea fan, there's no other Chelsea fan on the show. Akil, thanks. Saw Jason as well there, as well in the comments. Vads. And some other guy calling me delusional, but hey, man.
that one touched him, eh? How long did you see that? He went quiet after that. Why is this guy calling me delusional? But he also called Wonga delusional, so it's not just
all, it's all good. It's all good. So, just everyone, remember to like, subscribe to the YouTube page and join the Discord channel, guys. That's the most important thing. Join the Discord channel. Happens. Let's have a good... Let's have some banter outside of Tuesdays and Thursdays, but that's it from me.
Wonga?
Yeah, I mean, look, my final thoughts, Man United must take advantage of the opportunity we'll be giving them come this weekend.
This is nonsense, guys.
I think our viewers know who's where Cello.
Hi, bro. I said everyone's names, guys. Everyone, guys.
Yeah, but you were disguising it. You know what you were doing. You know, in the sandwich, the middle layer is the best part in the sandwich. You were just throwing Dia's name in the middle layer, in the juicy part of the sandwich.
Guys, I'm just happy for people to be back, guys. I'm just happy for people to be on the show and watching the show. You know, come on, man. You know, our US crew, you know?
Wonga?
Yeah, no, I mean, seriously, I think I'm happy with Arsenal. Truly, truly, truly believe you can win. And that's a good thing. Last year wouldn't have been definitely different thoughts. I would have been in between minds, but I truly believe, and I think that's a good thing, the fact that I do believe that we can beat Liverpool, that we actually have a chance of beating them, whether we do or not.
And I mean, you've come a long way. You've come a long way, so that's something to look forward to.
Four months
of footy. Yes, footy. Yes, please. And this is nice for us, because now, as Goal Lounge, we can get some consistency going again. So your best Tuesdays, Thursdays will be here, and hopefully the other guys will make more appearances. And if not, Cello, you've got other guys. You've been scouting for other people to join the show, no? Yes, maybe. Hey,
man, hey? Man, you know me. You know me. I've got a long list of names. You know what I mean? You know, I've got everything. You know what I mean? I can bring a.
Wait. Cello, try this again. Arjun's saying, Cello, like, hi, Aman. Hi, Arjun. Hi, dear. Welcome back. That's kind of what he was saying. But anyway.
But also, with the Wenger's plan, we could have more months of club footy. And then you have the one month break of international.
But I'm confused. You like Wenger again? Do you like Wenger? Is he in the Arsenal good books again? Or is he still in the bad books, Wenger?
No, he's been good, man. For me, he's been good.
Okay, so he's in your good books.
He's, all right. Yeah, he's been in my good books, 100%.
And on that note, to everyone who joined us, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Like, subscribe, do the right thing. Join us on Discord, like Settle's already mentioned. And we will see you on Tuesday. And I'm going to count down to three. Gentlemen, you know how to end the show. You ready? You ready? Hold on. Before we do that, Aman's saying, yeah, you're right, I'd noticed. And then Pumalani is saying, we see the slick move, Settle. Settle exposing his game for the world to see. All right. Three, two, one.
Stop it!
Stop it!